Morning, guys. It's Daf Mechoros Lamed Tes. We are on the Mishnah Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We are discussing Mumen Sheb'guf HaBehema. Blemish is an animal which would render the animal now a Balmum, a blemish animal. As a result of that, one would be allowed to shecht it for a Bechor. If it was a carbon, one would be allowed to be poda it. And so a very detailed anatomical discussion throughout our parak, the sixth parak of Bechoros, in terms of what actually is going to constitute a blemish. I remind all of us what we learned in the beginning of the parak, and that is that based on a klal or part of klal, or maybe it could be a ribu, a mito ribui, but basically we know that there are two common characteristics as it relates to a mum. And what will define it to be a mum? One, it has to be kavu, it has to be something which is, well, actually the truth of the matter is, it's funny, that's not one of the things that are mentioned, but that's a svara, sorry. That's not learned out through the klal or part of klal. Number one, in the klal or part of klal, it has to be shibagalu, it has to be an exposed area. So that means it has to be readily visible. We're going to be seeing this becomes an issue when talking about the teeth. Because in an animal, there are front teeth and there are the back teeth, the incisors and the molars. And so there, that's, this distinction is going to play out. Number two is that it's eino chozer. It's not going to recover. It's not going to regenerate. Okay, that's kavua. That basically means it has to be it's in a permanent state. So those are the two basic rules as it relates to a mum. After that, the details. The details, some of it is based on just simple observation. Some of it is based on psukim. We're going to see over the course of our discussion what exactly comes from where, what generates from where. In the Mishnayos are organized in terms of how they're describing the animal. They start from the head and they work their way down to the tail. So when we talk about the head, we're talking really about the top of the head. We're talking about the ears. So that was already covered. That was the first discussion in the parak. Yesterday we moved on to the eyes. When it comes to the eyes, so there are numerous conditions in the eye. The pupil and the whites and a little bit of the irises were discussed in the eyes. The eyelids were discussed yesterday. And so that was yesterday's daf. And today, with the Mishnah, we're going to be continuing in our discussion regarding the eyes. And then later on, we're going to move to the teeth in the course of today's daf. So today, we're going to be covering eyes, actually a very short discussion of the nose and the lips. And then the second half of today's daf is going to be dedicated to the teeth. Okay. Let's begin. We are Chavravar. We are at the Mishnah on Lamed Chesam and Beis, and now we are continuing in our discussion of eyes and other conditions in the eyes. So the Mishnah over here describes two other conditions in the eyes, Chavravar. Chavavar is some sort of white speck that exists within the eye. Rashi describes it as some sort of ailment. Cholihu sheyesh tipim levanus ba'ayin. So there are white spots within the eye. So yesterday we had an eye doctor here. Bring him back. Vehamayim hakvuim. And also if there is runniness of the eye, literally water in the eye, so that is no good. Kvuim, Rashi says, is going on both points, Chavavar and the mayim. So basically we're talking about white spots in the eye or we're talking about water in the eye. Ezu chavavar kavu kol shashar shmonim yom. Now, as far as the chavavar is concerned, if the condition persists for 80 days, that is considered now a mum kavua. Rabbi Chanina ben Atikin Samar Bokin also gimel paim in besoch shmonim yom. Rabbi Chanina ben Atikin says that it needs a bedika, needs an examination. And three times within 80 days. Ve'elu hein mayim hakavuim. Aval lach v'yavesh ve'elu hein mayim hakavuim. And as far as the examination is concerned for Mayim HaKavum, what exactly is the examination going to be? Achal lach v'yavish, the animal is going to be fed moist grain and dry grain. Shel gishamim, the grain has to be coming from a field that was irrigated by rain and not irrigated by man. Liach v'yavish oshlachim, if the animal were to eat either the moist grain and the dry grain of irrigated fields. Oh, achal yavish v'achakach alach. Or if they ate first the dry, then followed by the moist, eino mum ash yochal halach v'achar kach hayavish. The only real test in order to see whether or not it's a mum or not a mum is only when you eat first lach, followed then by yavish. Okay, the Mishnah is not super clear in terms of what exactly this test is, and as we go through the Gemara, we're going to have a much better clue, a much better picture of exactly what this test is going to look like. It's a little bit also unclear in the Gemara if we're talking about where this is actually for purposes of medicinal and therapy, or is this just simply a test to see whether or not this is a permanent blemish, right? That discussion also could be had in terms of what exactly we're trying to accomplish, although quite frankly, the goal is going to be the same, meaning if it doesn't heal, So then that proves to be that this is a mum kavua. So it's a wonderful discussion, but when all said and done, the result is going to be the same. Okay, we start with the Gemara. The Gemara now clarifies a number of points that we made back in the Mishnah. Masisa mani Rabbi Yehuda hi detanya chavavar kavu arbam yom umayim akvum shmonim divrab meir. So as far as identifying who the author of the Mishnah is, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Braisa over here, the first opinion espoused in the Braisa, is that the chavavar, the white spots, is for 40 days. The runniness and the water in the eyes is for 80 days. That's Rabbi Meir's position, which is clearly not our Mishnah, which is exactly the Gemara's point. And even though we saw this just yesterday, even though we normally say Stam Mishnah Kareb Meir, but that's a general rule. And like all general rules, there are exceptions, here's being one of them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chavavar Shmonim Yom. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the Chavavar is for 80 days. Good, that is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah follows the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'elohin Mayim Akvuim. So in terms of Mayim Akvuim, how do I know that is this runniness of the eyes is a permanent condition? So we do the test. We do the, we have the animal eating a certain diet. And so over here, the Gemara is going to go into unbelievable specifics in terms of how exactly to administer to this diet to see whether or not this condition is a permanent condition. Let's say the animal were to eat lach v'yavish. Now, moist and dry is talking about the actual fodder itself. The animal fodder itself, some of it's moist, some of it's dry, and as we'll see in just a moment, it's probably dependent on the seasons, right? The moist season, all right, the spring, as opposed to the dry season, the summer. Okay. Achal lach v'yavish shel beis hashlachim. O she'achal yavish v'achakach achal halach ein mum. So in terms of proper identification, so if you're eating it for the fodder that grew in an irrigated field, or the man-made irrigated field, that's nothing. It doesn't matter what order the animal eats it in. And even shel mei geshamim, and even if it's a rain field, a natural field, still, that's also not going to be good. Ad she'achal yavish v'achakach achal halach. Until the order goes specifically in the order of first dry fodder, ve'ein mum ad she'ochel yavish v'achakach lach. Yeah, first dry and then moist. V'yeshno gimel chadashim. So, and this has to be done, this treatment has to be done for the course of 3 months. Okay, so, in terms of length of time in which you notice the condition, 80 days. In terms of time of treatment, 3 months. So the Gemara says, now in the Mishnah, it doesn't really read that clearly in the Mishnah. So it sounds like in the Mishnah that we're not being that specific. So the Gemara says, when reading the Mishnah, you have to understand that there's a little bit missing in the Mishnah. And here's how we're going to read the Mishnah and understand the Mishnah. If the animal ate specifically in the order of lach v'yavish, first moist, then dry. Has to be of a field of that was irrigated by rain, meaning naturally irrigated field. So if you give this animal this diet in this order from food coming from this kind of field and the condition doesn't resolve, so now we know we have a mum kavua. But it has to specifically be in the order of lach v'yavish, moist, dry, and shel geshamim, and the produce has to be coming from a dry from a rain field. Fine. And then continuing in the Mishnah. Beis HaShlachim. Now, if the fodder is coming from an irrigated field, a man-made irrigated field, so ain't a mum. So that doesn't mean anything. So Udig Shamim Nami. And even of the rain field, Achal Yavish V'Achakach Achalach, ain't a mum. Eating it dry, followed then by moist, that's nothing. Ad, She'achal Yavish V'Achakach Achalach. It has to be specifically in the order of Yavish, followed then by Lach. V'Yeshna Gimel Chadashim. And it also has to be 3 months. Okay. So basically, here's what we did. We just basically read it into the Mishnah that in order for this test to be a successful test, to identify that the runniness of the eye that has been now persistent for 80 days. So how do I know that this is a mum kavua? So you feed it specifically in this order of lach followed then by yavesh, and also it has to be the fodder's coming from a naturally irrigated field, from a rain field. So then and only then, and the condition doesn't resolve. Then and only then do we know that it's a mum kavua. Any of the Gemara says, is this true? V'atani v'arav idi baravin. Right. Amar v'har rav idi baravin. Amar rav yitzchak bar yishan. Adar v'nisan lach. El v'tishrei yavish. So the Gemara says, now on the 3 month wait, on the 3 month treatment period, so the Gemara now counts 4 months. So ema adar v'chati nisan lach. So the Gemara says, no, we could chop it off. Adar and half of Nisan, That's when you're going to feed it the moist grain. And El, together with half of Tishrei, that's when you're going to feed it the dry grain. Okay. Next question, the Gemara. I told you, the detail over here is going to be unbelievable. When giving it this specific diet of first the moist, followed then by the dry, are we going to have to be also following the seasons as well? Like, for example, the springtime, it is still a little bit rain, and the fodder is a little bit moist. So that means that when we're doing the month and a half of moist, does it have to be in the rainy season? And then when we do the dry, that has to be in the summer. And it has to be specifically when all the fodder outside is dry. So does the moist dry diet have to follow the seasons as well? So Tashma Damar Vidi Baravin Amar Visak Barishan Adar Venisan Lach Elva Tishrei Yavish. Based on the statement we just saw together, the answer seems to be yes, because we just learned together that during Adar Nisan, that's the end of the spring, so that is when you're going to be feeding it the moist, seemingly because it is consistent with the season of still being somewhat of a wet season. And the El of Tishrei, which is clearly the summertime, that's when you're giving it the dry. So it sounds like we just learned together that it does have to be consistent with the season and correspond to the season. Dilma, Perid El of Tishrei Machin Alei, Vad Venisan. So the Gemara says not necessarily. We could just simply say that the fruit that grows during El and Tishrei, you could feed it to him during the months of Adar Nisan. It just simply tells us when to get this kind of grain off the field, but not necessarily when to administer this grain to the animal. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of, not the end, sorry, the end of that sequence. The Gemara still continues with more on this discussion of this therapy. V'kama ma'achilin osa. Okay. So now in this treatment, we're going to be giving special fodder to the animal. Fodder that grow out of a field of rain. First the moist, then the dry. A month and a half of the moist, a month and a half of the dry. Okay. But on a daily feeding schedule, how is that going to look? So v'kama ma'achilin osa amar Rav Yochanan mishum Rabbi Pinchas ben Aruva kegrogeris. So you start off by giving a grogeris of this food, of this fodder. In other words, in addition to the other, whatever other food the animal is going to be eating that day. Amarava by Mamarava Kagrogris Basuda Vishona. Oh, Dilma, Bechol Su'uda Visu'uda. Now, a grogris, in other words, so basically, let's treat this like medication. Okay, even though it's food, it's fodder. But let's treat it like medication. Are we medicating once a day? Or is it in conjunction with every meal? And im tim salama besuda rishon kodem achila l'achar achila. And if it's done, let's say the suda rishon, the first meal, is it going to be done before you eat or after you eat? Kodem achila vada malile kisama. Are we going to be doing it before you eat? Because the Gemara says it's just like medicine. Right, back in the day, medicine was given on an empty stomach. The Gemara felt, right, the Chachmei HaGemara felt that medicine on an empty stomach is much more therapeutic. So are we going to be treating this fodder that we're giving to the animal like medicine, in that you're going to be giving it to the animal before it eats anything else? La'achar achila mai. Or maybe after they eat. Mai. Kodim shesia o la'achar shesia. What about drinking when the animal drinks? And the Gemara is assuming that the eating and the drinking and the animal are happening on two different time periods. The kodim shesia vada malale kisa'are. You know, before you drink, it's for sure going to be helpful like barley. Right, barley is always helpful for the animal to eat before he drinks. Now, drink, I say it like as if I'm so comfortable with that information. I didn't know that, but okay. So so that's one possibility. So what about administering this special fodder after the animal drinks? Is that going to be okay? Kashur or mutar? Should the animal be tied up or should the animal be free range? Okay, I know, very popular nowadays, free range. So should the animal be tied up or free range? Mutar vademale kashur amai. If the animal's free range, the Gemara says that's for sure going to be good. Okay, a clear endorsement on the part of the Gemara. The Gemara is endorsing free range. Again, you could only if you take it out of context, the entire discussion out of context. Fine. So, but anyway, so what's better? Is it better to give this fodder while the animal's tied up or free? Levado uim chavero. Another question the Gemara says in terms of administering the medicine, and that is, should the animal be by itself or should the animal have company? Im chaver vada malale. So for sure with company it's going to be good, but levado mai, but what if the animal is by itself? Be'ir uvesada. Should the animal be out in the city or out in the field? Besada vada malale. Now in the field, so everyone's more relaxed in the field. Be'ir mai, but you know how people are in the city. And you know how animals are in the city? Right. By Ravashi Mtim Salamar Basada. So let's say that it has to be in the field. Gina Hasmucha Le'ir. Let's say it's the suburbs. In other words, Gina Hasmucha Le'ir. My official identification of a suburb. So my. So the Gemara leaves this question, this question unresolved. When I say this question, the teiku probably goes back on so many of the other questions as well, in terms of the proper administration of the special fodder that's done over the course of 3 months, as we have just discussed. I told you, just tremendous detail in terms of proper administration. Right? This was important to them. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Antignas Omer. I'm Rabbi Nachman Yisrael Vavachi Mishulashim. Now, as far as Rabbi Chanan ben Antignas, so his position was that it has to be over an 80-day period. Right? You look back at the Mishnah, so the Rabbi Chanan ben Antignas Omer Bokin Oso Gimel Panamim Besoch Shmonim Yom. So you do a bedika of 3 times in the course of 80 days. And you have to trisect those 80 days. So let's say we do the following. Let's say we go through the entire treatment. And animal is not healed. So now we've just established, after having gone through the treatment, and now we have now confirmed that this animal is in fact a balmum. And so now what? So now we know that the animal is a balmum, and it's a balmum kavua. So are we saying from this point going forward, or can we take the status of Balmum and move it back? And all the therapy did was just simply show us that it was a Balmum, demonstrate that it was a Balmum, but really it was a Balmum from the moment that you noticed its running eyes. So the Gemara says, okay, but what difference does it make? Right now it's a mum, it's a Balmum. So why should it matter? So the Gemara says, Lamim al bipigio no. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it would make a difference because of the following. Let's say immediately upon detecting the runny eyes, you then decided, you know what, I'm going to redeem the animal out now. But we don't know if it's a mum kavur or not. We need the treatment. We need the 3-month treatment. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll be poda now. We'll do the 3-month treatment. And then afterwards, you're like, we'll see. So you were poda now. You did the 3-month treatment. It turns out now that it's been validated, verified as a ba mum kavur. And now you understand the question's wonderful. Because if the only time that we can now totally assess that it's a Balmum Kavua is only post-treatment, so that means that the pigeon that you did was not a pigeon. That means then that the money is just simply money. It's nothing. If, on the other hand, if after treatment you've now discovered it's Mum Kavua, but that's a Gilu, it just shows us that it was a Mum Kavua, and it really goes back to Mafreya, so that means that the money that you were poda is in fact going to be pigeon money, which means that that money has Kedusha, okay? And now if I misappropriated that money, so then that would be in violation of Me'ilah. So the Gemara just spells out exactly what we just said. If it's Lemafreya, if the treatment is just there as a Gilui, but the truth of the matter is the status of Mum Kavua already began upon detection of the runny eyes. So that means to say now that when you were poda, that money now has Kedusha, and if you misappropriate that money, that's the Yisra of Me'ilah. Or on the other hand, if it's only Mikanulaba, if it's only post-treatment that we can now say for sure that it's a Mum Kavua, so that means that the money is not have Kedushas HaKarban. That means that you wouldn't be in violation of Me'ilah. So the Gemara has just asked a classic question of whether it's Mikanu Laba or Lemafreya. So now, who asked this question? Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Let me do that again. Pinchas Achua Demar Shmuel. So it was Pinchas, the brother of Shmuel. Now, Shmuel has known Pinchas his whole life. Now, I don't know whose whole life, because I know who's the older brother and who's the younger brother, but they've known each other for a very long time. Well, let's say that. And Shmuel was impressed. In fact, I'll use even another adjective. He was surprised. He was surprised that his brother asked such a sharp question. He didn't see that coming from his brother. This is not a narration, by the way. What I'm saying is simple pshat in the Gemara. So, Kari Shmuel Aleha. Pisechim bizazu. So the pasuk in Yeshayahu describes how the pisechim, those people who are lame, so they're going to be bozes. They're going to end up winning the war and looting, and it'll be a victory from people we didn't expect a victory from. And Shmuel was saying the same thing about his brother. In fact, if you look at Rashi over here, I know you trust me, but there's literally no narration here. Rashi writes, "Hai kra psichem bazazu." I'm reading Rashi. "Baz dahave davar she'ein hadas ovelas." It's something which you just couldn't believe was going to happen. "Shiyu chigerim bozazim bizos." That people who are lame are going to fight the war. They're going to win the war. They're going to loot. "Klomer ata einu mechudad." So Shmuel says to his brother, "I didn't know you were that sharp." "Vishalta shela kazu." And meanwhile, he asked a question like this. "Sheini yodei tshuva," and I don't even know the answer. Like, you stumped me? Like, that's impressive. Okay, it is the first official backhanded compliment of the Gemara. Okay, registered right here in Bechoros Lamites. There might be other backhanded compliments, but this is a pretty good one.
He didn't answer the question.
Right. Right. Okay.
He didn't know the answer.
Okay. Chot Mo Shenikov. We're up to the next Mishnah. And for just a short amount of time, we speak about the nose and lips. Not much to describe, at least from the Gemara and the Mishnah's perspective on the nose and lips. From the Mishnah, Chotmo Shenikav. So if I have a hole in the nose, Vishin Nifgam, Vishin Izdak, or Pigima, if it notches, or if it splits, Sifamo, now as far as the lips are concerned, Shenikva, Shenifka, Shenistika. Okay? Right, the big three, by the way. These are the mumim that we described in many of the body parts. We described them by the ear. Now we're doing it by the nose. Now we just did it by the lips as well. Good. We did it by the eyelids, right? These three as well, right? Notched, split, or has appeared as a whole. The Gemara's comment. The Gemara only has one comment on this time. Rabbanan nikvu chutmim zelasoch ze mi bechutz hari ze mum mi bifnim eno mum. So as far as the hole now pierced, so we're going to make a distinction between interior versus exterior. Meaning, if it is a piercing of the hole, where it goes from one chotem to the other, from one nostril to the other, but it's exterior. Now, again, anatomically, I don't see it that well, but I'm not on the farm that often. So there must be a possibility, there must be a way in which you could pierce the nostrils, and it could be visible from the outside. And again, it goes back to our most basic rule, that in order for these mumim to be a mum, it has to be exterior. It has to be readily visible. So if it's dami b'chutz, so that's going to be considered mum, but if it's mifnim, if it's just a piercing of the nostril, but it's going from one nostril, interior nostril, to the other, and it's going through an interior membrane, so that's not going to be a mum. That's not going to be a blemish. Good. Eno mum. Sfaso shenikvav shenikvav mushenistiko. Amar Papa. The Gemara only has one quick comment over here. Tura bira desifsase. When talking about the lips, we're talking about the exterior of the lips, not the interior of the lips. The part that can be readily seen and visible. Okay. We're up to the next Mishnah. Now, this next Mishnah, so we already got previewed earlier in the Masechta, twice earlier in the Masechta. Lamed Hay and Lamed Zayin. Okay? I wish I would tell you that's my Bekias. That's just me looking at the inner margin of the Daf. But anyway, twice already in this Masechta, we went through this Mishnah, and we noted that we're talking about the mouth, and specifically of the... Now, the next thing is a little bit unclear. We're either talking about the teeth or we're talking about the gums. I told you it's much easier to translate the Mishnah that we're talking about teeth, because we're going to be talking about shenifgamu, shenigmamu. We're talking about ridges. We're talking about where it's worn down. We're talking about nekru, where it's uprooted. It really does make, it seems to make more sense that it's talking about the teeth. Although, to be fair and to be honest, Rashi throughout, back earlier in the parak as well, whenever describing this Mishnah, so he says we're only talking about the gums. We're not talking about the teeth. Okay. So exactly which part of the dental structure are we talking about? A little bit unclear. Okay, and we'll just leave it as it is just simply unclear. However, what is clear is the following. We're going to make a distinction between the incisors versus the molars. When talking about the incisors, so that obviously is in the front of the mouth, and that's more readily visible. So there, it is more eligible to be a blemish. Mashainkin, when it comes to the molars, so the molars are normally tucked away in the back of the mouth. You don't see them most of the time. The Gemara earlier pointed out that when the animal lets out some sort of guttural groan, so it's going to open up its mouth wide, and you're going to see the molars. And that does happen on occasion, but it's not as readily visible as the incisors. That's the overarching idea of this Mishnah. And now, the details. So we're going to make a distinction between the front teeth, the literally the chutin achitzonim. Okay, I'm going to just simply say the word teeth, even though it doesn't, it's not really Rashi, but it just, again, it's a little bit easier to say it over. So when talking about the front teeth, otherwise known as the incisors, now remember, with our ruminating animals, they only have incisors on the bottom of their mouth. They do not have it on the top. So the chutim achitzonim, we're talking about the front teeth, the incisors, shenifkamu shenigmamu. So there, because they're in such an exterior position, so even just a either pegam, notches in those teeth, or gimamu, or they were, it's funny, it sounds just like the word gums, shenigmamu, or they were rubbed down. Either way, it's going to be a blemish because they're so readily visible. However, ha'panimim, but when dealing with the back teeth, otherwise known as the molars, nekru. So there, they have to be totally uprooted, meaning it's not going to be a blemish until it's uprooted. Why does it have to even be further damaged? And again, it goes back to the point that we made at the beginning of the Mishnah, because they're not readily visible, and so therefore, if they're just simply notched a little bit, or if they are shaved down a little bit, that's not going to be that obvious, and therefore, it's not a mum. Rabbi Chanina ben Atikna Sarmah, in Bokin min atiyomus v'lifnim, aflo es hatiyomus. Now, Rabbi Chanina ben Atikna says that we do not do an examination min hatiyomus and interior. The aflo is the tiyomus, and we also don't do an examination on the tiyomus. Now, we're talking about the twins. What are we talking about? So most probably what we're talking about is the molars over here. Because when talking about the molars, you can feel it in your own mouth. So the molars now start to actually have like twin teeth, meaning they have two edges to them. And so therefore, when the Mishnah over here is describing the tiyomus, it's most probably describing the molars of the animal. What exactly is the point of Rabbi Chanina ben Atikna? So stay tuned because the Gemara is going to give clarity to what he meant. Now, Tana Rabbanan atiyomus esu atiyomus men atiyomus v'lifnim. So when talking about the tiyomus, we're talking about min atiyomus v'lifnim. The tiyomus atzmak lifnim, and the tiyomus themselves are like lifnim. Okay, was that clear? Not particularly. So again, the Gemara is going to give clarity in just a moment. That's the Shita of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kuputzai Omer ein shochtin el al chitzon abavad. He says, in terms of shechting the animal, you only shech the animal over the outer teeth, the incisors. Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas Omer ein mashkichin al tiyomus kol ikar. And Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas says that pay no mind to the tiyomus, pay no attention to the molars. Okay. Three opinions in this braisa. Of the three, right now, at face value, I think the middle sheet of Rabbi Yeshua ben Kuputzai is the one that's most easily understood of the three. However, we'd like to understand all three positions. The Gemara is going to do that right now. My Kamar. So the first question of the Gemara, a really straightforward question, is what just happened? What did the Braisa actually just say? Okay. The Tanakama's viewpoint, right? Right? Ezu tiyomus min atiyomus v'lifnim. Like, what's going on over here in the Braisa? Vesu. And furthermore, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kuputzai, Hainu Tanakama. Now, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kuputzai is presenting the Braisa like a second opinion, arguing with the Tanakama, but then upon further review, it's like there's no difference between Rabbi Yeshua ben Kuputzai and the Tanakama. He says, don't pay any mind to the Tiyomus. That's basically what the Tanakama said. And so what's the difference between those two? So Chosur Mechzer V'Hachikitani. So the Gemara thankfully says that, look, on our own, it'd be really difficult to give any kind of shot whatsoever in the Braisa. There are missing parts of the Braisa, and so we're going to fill in the missing blanks in the Braisa, the missing pieces, and we're going to get much better clarity on the Braisa. V'Hachikitani, Ezu Apanimis. So when this first, we're going to identify what is considered interior. So min atiyamas v'lifnim, v'tiyamas atzmak lifnim. So basically, any time that you have twin edges, otherwise known as the molars, so that's now already considered interior. Okay, right? When you take a look at the dental structure of the ruminating animal, so they're incisors. Again, as I pointed out, only on the bottom, not on the top. And then there's a nice long break. In other words, they're basically, we have canines, right, us humans, right? So do dogs. So and then we go to our molars. So these ruminating animals, they just have incisors, just bottom incisors, only to pluck out the grass from the ground. Then what they have is in the back of their mouth, and there's just simply a large gap between the incisors and the molars in the back. So in the back of the mouth, they have molars. So over here, we're saying that basically, once we have the tiyomus, once we have the twin ridges, otherwise known as the molars, so that's already considered lifnim. That's considered interior. Now, bamedvar mamorim. Now, this is an explanation of the Tanakama. Bamedvar mamorim shenifkamu v'shenigmamu. Now, when exactly do we say that we don't investigate the molars? That's only talking about where they're just simply notched up a little bit, or they're shaved down a little bit. Aval ne'ekru shochtin. However, by the molars, it could become a mum, and that is if they're nekar, if they're totally removed. Mm-hmm. So total removal of the molars would in fact constitute a blemish according to the Tanna Kamma. Good. Now we have shot in the Tanna Kamma. Next shita. Rabbi Yishuv men kuputai omer ein shochtin el al chitzonos ava panim shenekru mishchad alai lo shachtin aval ipsule miso. Shita number two is Rabbi Yoshua. When Rabbi Yoshua says, look, I'm not going to be as makel as the Tanna Kamma. Tanna Kamma says that when molars are removed, so that's going to be a mum. He says, no, that's not true. Over the molars, you'll never get to the point where it's going to be a mum that I could shecht. And again, I go back and I remind all of us what we learned earlier. In terms of blemishes, there are basically two levels. One level, it can't be brought as a carbon. Level two, it's such a mum that we can shecht a bechor over it, or if it's a carbon, we can be poed to the carbon over it. So over here, as far as the second sheet is concerned, so this, as far as the molars are concerned, never will allow for shechita, but it could register as a blemish. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's sheet number two. He is being more machmir than that of the Tanna Kamma. And then Rabbi Chanin ben Antignus Amrei Mashkech al Tiyomus Kol Ikar Ve'afilu Ipsule Lo Ifso. And as far as the sheet of Rabbi Chanin is concerned, those molars in the back are totally disregarded halachically. Meaning, I don't care what happens to those molars in the back. They are not a mum, not on level one, not on level two. Not on the level where it's going to be disqualified, and certainly not on the level where you'll be able to shech the animal and eat it over this over such a mum. Okay. So that is now a clear presentation of the three shitas in the Braisa. By Rav Achtuboy Barami, yesh mechusa evra bimifnim, o yesh mechusa evra bimifnim. Okay. Gemara's question now is going to take us really through the end of the daf, or the end of what we're going to be covering today, and that's the following. When talking about an animal that is missing an internal organ, is that going to be a blemish or is that not going to be a blemish? Now, I feel at this point in the perek, we all already know the answer. So it is an interesting, somewhat of an odd question the Gemara to ask, and it has to be external. You already get that sense, and we haven't done that much. We've done a couple blot in the sixth perek. So, but immediately the Gemara is going to call out the question. Lamai. Ila bechor pisecho iverksiv. Now, as far as the bechor is concerned, so the parshim, the psukim parshas rei tells us that for a bechor it has to be pisecho iver. It has to be either lame or it has to be blind. And that obviously is external, not internal. And ila kachim averes o shavur ksiv. And as far as karbanos in general, so there the Torah says that it has to be either averes or shavur, blind or broken. In other words, external blemishes. So, li ishchute uli ifruke lo ibaylan. So the Gemara says, you're right. Of course you're right. Meaning, in order to shecht the bechor, in order to redeem a standard carbon, so you're right. A missing internal organ is not going to play into it whatsoever because it's not a blemish. It's not a mum. We knew that. You're right. But ki mi baylan li ifsule. I want to know, is a missing limb, better stated, is a missing organ, is that going to result in a blemish vis-a-vis it can't be offered as a carbon anymore? What is the criteria of a carbon? So we know the criteria of a carbon is the Torah says it has to be tamim. It has to be perfect. Do we arrive at the point of imperfection just simply when the animal now is missing even an internal organ? The Gemara now is contending that's the question. My. Tamim yelarasat amarachmana tamim in chisaron lo. The fact that it's missing an internal organ now is a deficiency in tamim. Odilma tamim yiyeh l'rabos. Odilma tamim yiyeh l'rabos. Kol mum lo yiyeh bo, ma mum mi'ivrai, af chisar mi'ivrai. So the Gemara says, maybe no. Maybe as far as tamim is concerned. So that tells us that the animal, as long as it is externally intact, so the animal is considered and qualifies as a tamim. Okay, so we know that for sure an internal organ that's missing, we know for sure that it cannot result in the shechting of a bechor or the redemption of a regular carbon. The only question on the table is that a mum to disqualify it as a carbon? Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. V'shtei ha-klayos, v'lo ba'al kulya achas, v'lo ba'al shalosh kulyos. One brisa says that in order for the animal to be a carbon, you need shtei klayos. You need two kidneys. Right, standard animals have two kidneys, just like humans, two kidneys. So one kidney is no good, three kidneys are no good. V'tanya idach yisirena l'rabos balkulya achas. Now, on the other hand, the Torah also says when describing a removal of the Imurim, you're going to remove it in the singular. Even if the animal only has one kidney, okay, fine, so good. So take out the kidney and offer it as a carbon. And over here, seemingly we have two opinions in this Braisa. And they're arguing, and what are they arguing about? And the government now is going to suggest. Savru de kolama in ber yabachas daha mechzer chaser. So let's start off with the following assumption. Now it is an assumption. The Gemara is telegraphing the punch. We're going to start off with an assumption that an animal, it's just impossible for an animal to be born with one kidney. No such mutation exists. If that's true, so now let's consider. Lema ba'akim ifugi, the marsavar chisaron, mi bifni shmei chisaron, or marsavar chisar mi bifni mo shmei chisaron. So how are now you ending up with one kidney? The answer is chaser. In other words, what happened was is that one kidney must have gotten diseased and disintegrated. And so now you have a missing kidney in the animal. And is that can that be offered as a carbon? And that l'chora is going to be the machlokas between the Tanakhama and sorry, who's the Bar Plukta? I just mentally lapsed. There is no identification. Okay, good. I mentally lapsed for a good reason. The Gemara does not identify the name. Okay, so these are the differences now between the two brisa. One brisa that says that you're offering it. The first brisa says that you're not offering it. Why? Because now it's chaser. It had two kidneys. Again, that's an assumption. It had two kidneys. It lost a kidney. And so therefore, that's considered chaser. I won't allow me to shecht the bechor, but yeah. It's a mum. It's not tamim. It's not tamim yiyah. On the other hand, according to the second brisa that says that you can remove the one kidney. Why? Because chaser is not a big deal. In other words, okay, so it lost a kidney, fine. But it still had a remaining kidney, and that is going to be eligible to be brought as a carbon. That lechor is a machlokas, and what the Gemara now is suggesting is that this question of missing an organ, is that going to be considered now a lack of tamim? That's the machlokas between the tanaim. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Yosef dekol ama yesh bir yabachas, v'chasam mebifnim shmei chisaron. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to just change around the assumptions. Let's assume that an animal can, in fact, be born with one kidney. Let's, in fact, assume that a missing kidney is, in fact, going to be considered a chisaron. So the Gemara says, and as far as explaining the two brises, it's very simple. The first brisa that says that you must have two kidneys is when the animal is born with two kidneys. And then, if, in fact, it loses one of the two kidneys, that's a chisaron, that's no good. Okay, how do they know? That it was one kidney versus two kidneys at birth? They had a sonogram. Uh-huh. Okay. Anachronistic, not a good answer. So the other brisa that says that one kidney is fine is talking about a case where the animal was born with one kidney. The hadumya deshalosh kitani. Now the Gemara says now, in the brisa it says that we also have a mutation where the animal was born with three kidneys. So mashalosh mikara, afachas mikara. Now three obviously has to be congenital. The Gemara does not assume for a moment that the animal just simply grew a kidney. So that's a congenital condition. So the Gemara over here says, well, maybe the machlokas and mitzias. Now I know anyone with the yeshiva background is trained to know that there's no machlokas and mitzias, none. Okay, so maybe what we could do is we could temper that almost none, almost no machlokas and mitzias. This seems to be a machlokas and mitzias. So the Gemara says, "Hachbi yishbirya mikar kemiflegi, marsavi yishbirya ba'achas, marsavi inbirya ba'achas." And so what the Tanaim are arguing about is whether such a creature exists. Where can there be a creature where it's born with one kidney? Maybe that's a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan amar dekulei ama inbirya ba'achas. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no. There is no such creature that can be born with one kidney. V'chisar mibifnish mechisaron. And if it loses a kidney, that's in fact considered chaser. It's not considered, it's no longer tamim yiyah. And so now, how do I explain the discrepancy? So the Gemara says, okay, every animal is born with two. If it were to be lost before shechita, that's considered chaser and that's no good. It's disqualified. Maybe the machlokas over here is as follows. I lost a kidney when? After we shechted the carbon. So after we shechted the carbon, we lost a kidney. So the Gemara says, after we shechted, what point are we talking about? Ula'achar shechita konam kabbalah mishare. Immediately after shechita, but before we did kabbalah sadam. That's no good. The Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Zera, amar Rav, it's our mozen apar v'achakach kibal dam apasol. That if we did a blemish on the ear, and after you shechted the animal, but before you did kabbalah sadam, that is no good. the animal must remain unblemished through Shechita and up to Kabbalas Adam. Now, I'm going to make the obvious point, which is that after you shechted it, there is somewhat of a disfigurement of the animal. It's called it shechted. It's called it shechted. Now my point is wonderful and it's correct, but it doesn't change the fact of the Gemara, which is that the animals that are not going to be affected by the Shechita have to remain in a non-blemished state until after Kabbalas Adam. So ozen apar v'achar kach kibal dam apostol shem v'lakach midam apar ha-parsha hayakfar. So the halacha is that this bull has to be intact through the Shechita and through Kabbalas Adam. El kan shechazor kodem kabal, kan shechazor l'achar kabal. Okay, the Gemara says, fine. So why don't we just simply move it over a little bit? Maybe the discrepancy between the two brises is that the two kidneys that the animal is born with, every animal is born with two kidneys. The two kidneys were there during Shechita, during Kabbalas Adam, and immediately after Kabbalas Adam, so one of the kidneys got lost. So the Gemara says, Alacha Kabbalah Kodem Zrika Misharin. The Gemara says, okay, but I don't believe you're right about that as well. Meaning, I need both kidneys to be intact and every organ to be intact, up to and including Kabbalas Adam and Zrika Adam as well. How do I know that? V'atayin, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Se Tamim Zachar Ben Shana Yelachem. Shiyehe Tamim Ben Shana B'Shashchita. So we know that a Karban Pesach has to be perfect, a year old, and during the time of Shechita. Uminayim b'kabal v'olacha v'azaya, and not just Shechita, but also the accepting of the blood, the walking of the blood over to the Mizbech, the sprinkling of the blood onto Mizbech. Tam alamer yiyeh, shiyu kol havyasov, tam uben shana. That these conditions of tam and ben shana have to persist and continue through the past process of Kabbalas Adam, Halacha, and Zrikas Adam as well. And so if we're right, so that means to say that if the kidneys are lost any time before Zrikas Adam, the Karban is disqualified. So what are we talking about? So the Gemara suggests the following, Tirgama Aben Shana. So the Gemara says, well, maybe like this, maybe we'll say the following, that the idea that it has to be Tamim does not extend up to and through Zrika. Maybe the up to and through Zrika only is going on the qualification of it has to be a year old. Now, hopefully everyone here is wondering the following question. Is it possible that it's going to be under a year before Shechita, and then after Shechita, but before Zrika Saddam, it's going to turn a year old? That's unusual and impossible. Right? You normally turn a year old at the next day. Next day, by the way, which means nightfall, already you will no longer be able to do Zrikas Adam. So what I just challenge everyone here, so hold that thought because it's a wonderful thought and the Gemara is going to bring that up in just a moment. Hachinam and Mistab, the Gemara says, now this pshat that we just offered is in fact a good pshat. Tanya Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kol hazvachim shebetor shenishtarim mehem kezayis basar, kezayis chelev, zorek es adam shmamina. So the Gemara says, and you know what? It really is the right pshat. Meaning I don't need the animal intact for Zrikas Adam. In fact, we saw the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. And this sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, we saw it a bunch of places. I know we saw it a bunch of places because, you know, it's one that resonates with me. And if you look in the side of the Gemara, it says you can find it in Pesachim, and the Gemara says, and many, and on the side, and many other places. When we're not even bothering writing the number of other places, it means because they saw it a bunch of times. This statement to Rabbi Yeshua is that I need, when doing Zrikas Adam, I need some of the animal. It's just a halachic quantity of the animal. Either kezayis of basar or kezayis of chelev. But that's all you need. Now, if all you have is a kezayis of basar of the animal, you certainly don't have kidneys, to say the least. You're not just missing one kidney. You're missing most of the animal. But that's fine. So for Zrikas Adam, I don't need the animal to be intact. The Braisa just told me earlier it needs to be intact. No, that was only going on the qualification of it being a year old. It has to be within a year before Shechita, and it has to be within a year also before Zrika as well. And now let's bring back the question that I just posed a couple moments earlier. And how can it be before a year at Shechita, but post 1 year old at Zrika? So, umi ika midze b'sha Shechita have ben shanam, v'sha kabal v'alacha have ben shtei shanim? Is that possible now, asked the Gemara? Amar Rava Zov Samaris, shows postless b'kashim. So Rava says that we must have to conclude from this point over here, that when registering the age of an animal vis-a-vis a karban, so now it doesn't go by the day, it goes by the hour. So when the animal is born, so mark it. Mark it on your calendars when the animal was born. So it would therefore be possible that if this animal was born last year on the 14th day of Nisan, I might be wrong, by the way, when I say 14th day of Nisan, because the next year on the 14th day, that's already now in its second year. So maybe the 15th day of Nisan, but whatever the case is. In other words, and now not only mark the day in which it's born, but also mark the hour as well. So that means to say now that when it's going to be turning into its second year, it's not going to just be based on day, but it's also going to be based on hour as well. Okay. Lema kitanai. And now, after having now unsuccessfully proven whether a aver mibifnim, an internal organ missing, is that going to be a lack of tumim? And so we just discussed and became and arrived at a lack of conclusion. The Gemara now is going to suggest that this is really a machlokas between the Tanaim. Lema Kitanai, just a couple of parshios ago in Shabbos. So we read Parshas Amor, and over here a description of various blemishes in the animal. We are going to be doing this in much greater detail over the course of the upcoming Dapim. And the Gemara describes where some of the organs are going to be crushed or severed. And the Gemara is really, and the Torah is really making focus on the private area of the animals, the genitalia of the animal. There are four terms that are described. Ma'uch kasus, natuk v'karus. Now, ma'uch v'kasus are talking about where it's basically crushed. Natuk v'karus is talking about where it's severed. And different degrees. Different degrees of crushed, different degrees of severed. Kulan bebeisim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we know it's talking about the genital area, but specifically which part of the area? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's talking about the beitzim. So bebeitzim below begid, the Gemara says, the beitzim to the exclusion of the gid. So ema af bebeitzim. No, div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda means that the full genital area, both the gid and also the beitzim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov amar kulam begid. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov limits these descriptions only to the gid itself. And Rabbi Yossi amar mach v'kasus af bebeitzim natuk v'karus begid. Begid in bebeitzim lo. And there's a third sheet of Rabbi Yossi where basically we're going to take the four adjectives and we're going to separate. When it comes to Malch V'Kasus, that's going both on Gid and on Beitzim. So Af Beitzim. When it's talking about Nasuk V'Karus, and that's the severing, so that's only talking about the Gid, it's not talking about the Beitzim. Okay. And so we have now three opinions in terms of which part of the genitalia of the animal is the Torah describing with these four terms. So either all four terms are going on both Gid and Beitzim, or four terms are going only on the gid, not on the beitzim, or we're going to divide. So, what is the machlokus over here between these tanayim? And the Gemara now is going to suggest. Myla b'hakimiflagi. The mar saver chisar mibifnim shmei chisaron. Mar saver lo shmei chisaron. So the Gemara over here says that, look, the beitzim are encased in a sack. And so maybe over here, being that the beitzim are encased in a sack, so it's not readily visible. It is now considered a aver shebifnim, and maybe that's exactly the issue, and that's exactly the machlokus. The Gemara says, I'm not buying it, v'tisber, Rabbi Yossi, Micah Savar, because look at that third sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Where does he stand on all this? Ika Savar chisar mebifnim, shmei chisaron. So if you're saying that because the beitzim are in a sack, which is not readily visible, and if he says that chisar mibifnim is in fact considered a chisaron, afilo natuk v'karos nami. So what difference does it make? What exactly happened to the beitzim? Did they get crushed? Did they get severed? If I can't see them, so what? Meaning, you've got to be consistent. Either it is considered a blemish or it's not considered a blemish, and Rav Yossi splitting the two, it doesn't make any sense. He's not following one consistent viewpoint. If it's not considered a chisaron, because it's namilo, and so therefore, as long as the beitzim are out of view and they're encased in the sack, so then it doesn't matter what happened to them, whether they were crushed or whether they were severed. If you hold that organs that are interior are not subject to mumim, so then it's not subject to mumim. Period. Rabbi Yehuda Savar. So the Gemara says over here, what we're discussing and debating is what falls under the category of Mumshe Begaloi. Yes, it's true the Beitzim are contained in a sack. That part's true. But are the Beitzim considered visible or not visible? through the outline of the sack. And the Gemara says that's really what's subject to the machlokus over here. Rabbi Yehuda sever malch v'kasus have mama. As far as Rabbi Yehuda's shita is concerned, malch v'kasus when they're crushed, that's considered mum. Why de michvatzan? Because what's going to happen is that in the absence of the Beit Sim, so now the sack is going to shrivel up. And so therefore that's visible. Natuk v'karus have mama daha talyan. And also natuk v'karus is considered a blemish as well, because you're going to see that the sack is now going very low because the Beitim are now disconnected, and that's also considered galui. That's also considered readily visible. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov sever malch v'kasus lahavi mama dimikar nami zimnan dimichvatzan. And as far as the second shita is concerned, the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he says that, look, as far as the sack being shriveled up, sometimes the sack is shriveled up, even when the Beitim are totally intact. So just because the shrivel up is not galui, is not considered evident, clearly evident. And atuk v'karus lahavi mama dimikar nami zimnan d'italian. And as far as severed beitzim, where now the sack is going to be going very low, sometimes the sack goes low even when the beitzim are not disconnected. And so therefore, this is also considered not galui. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's argument is that shriveled and low-hanging, and a low-hanging sack is not evidence of anything. And finally, the sheet of Rabbi Yosef sever ma'uch v'chasus avimoma, daha lesnehu, as far as ma'uch v'chasus, when they are crushed, so that is considered a blemish because they're not there. And presumably they're readily visible, but now took the curse, lahavi mama, da'i isnahu. But if it's just severed, but they're there, so it's not readily visible, and so therefore that's not going to be considered a blemish. So the Gemara basically saying, it's not a question of Eivr mibifnim is not going to be a blemish under any circumstance, and the only issues over here is what's considered visible, versus what is not considered visible. I kind of will stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up. This is a quick recap of today. We covered the second Mishnah on eyes. We talked about the Chavarvar. We talked about the Mayim, white specks in the eye or water running from the eye. And the Gemara went into great detail today regarding exactly how long a condition this has to persist and what treatment are you going to try in order to ensure that this is a Mum Kavua. And the Gemara went through a very specific 3-month treatment of feeding the animal specific fodder. And the Gemara went into great detail. Then we quickly covered this morning chot mos famo. We covered the nose and the lips, where if there is any one of the big three, either a pagam or a nekev or a stock on the nose or on the lips, that's also going to be a blemish. Again, qualification has to be on the external, on the exterior side, where it's clearly visible. And then we talked about the teeth, and we made had a big discussion today about the incisors versus the molars. And again, it's not clear the Mishnah is even talking about the teeth. Rashi consistently says it's talking about the gums, not the teeth, but in any event, when talking about the exterior, the incisors on the front, so there it's going to be more readily visible and therefore more subject to a mum, as opposed to the molars, which are not readily visible. On the molars, we had 3 opinions in the Braisa, Tanakama, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, in terms of what needs to happen to the molar, if anything, which would render the animal a ba mum. And then the big discussion in the rest of today's daf is going to be an Eivr mibifnim. An interior organ, if that's missing. An interior organ missing for sure is not going to qualify as a mum, that's a given. But would it remove the animal from the status of being a tumim? Is the animal now considered imperfect if it's missing an interior organ? The Gemara went back and forth on this issue extensively for a good part of today's daf, and really inconclusively. As far as the kidneys are concerned, the Gemara gave many ways of explaining the 2 braisos and the discrepancy in terms of whether an animal can in fact even be born with 1 kidney, can it not be born with 1 kidney. But the Gemara went through different ways of analyzing that braisa. And then finally, in terms of the discussion of what is considered a mum regarding Beitzim, so there are 3 opinions amongst the braisa. The Gemara thought that this has to do with interior organs, but the Gemara says it does not. It has nothing to do with interior organs. It has to do with what is considered visible versus what is not considered visible.